If you look at photos of the Reverend Martin Luther King leading marches in Alabama and Mississippi, he's often shown linking arms with a white-bearded white man in a black suit, Rabbi Abraham Heschel. Morris Abram was Dr. King's attorney. Stanley Levison was his closest personal aide, until the FBI persuaded Dr. King to drop him because Mr. Levison had been a communist. American Jews gave themselves over to the civil rights movement when you could be beaten and castigated for it, not out of Christian charity, but a sense of commonality. Jews were also targeted by the Ku Klux Klan. Signs in the South that said no color sometimes added, or Jews. One of the saddest effects of the American walkout from the UN conference in Durban is the rift it has irritated between this country's most recognizable supporters of civil rights and the supporters of Israel. Two groups by no means mutually exclusive. Israel supporters in the U.S. don't necessarily support each item of Israeli policy, but they remember that the United Nations itself created the state in 1948 because the nations who won World War II, most notably the United States, had turned away Jews fleeing the Holocaust. Israel was established as a refuge for a people the world had refused and who died because of it. In John le Carré's novel, Little Drummer Girl, an Israeli asks, where would you have us go? Central Africa? Uruguay? Or back to the ghettos and death camps of Europe to wait for the next pogrom? Or what about Egypt? Wait, we tried it once, and it wasn't a success. Other sad ironies of the conference abound. It's hard to see the logic of a meeting on racism, racial discrimination, xenophobia, and related intolerance that does not assail India's caste system, the rampages of the Taliban, contemporary genocides in Africa, and the repression of gays in many countries, including Cuba and Iran. As Bob Herbert noted in the New York Times this week, some of the loudest attackers of Israel were from countries in which proponents of civil or human rights are hunted down, imprisoned, tortured, and sometimes killed. Some African countries have demanded apologies, but African delegates have been conspicuously quiet on present-day slavery in Sudan and Mauritania. The conference in Durban seems to be ending in a flurry of political compromise to concoct a final document. Several governments, not just the United States, sent low-level delegations. That might have lessened their influence on the result. Maybe the world doesn't need another vast official conference on bigotry that would be predictably riled by politics, but a million different conversations in which people who have been hurt by hate can be heard and reach out to each other.